Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We concluded our examination of James chapter 1, verse 5 on the broadcast Friday, that well-known text that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. A wonderful text, a wonderful promise. I have just one closing thing to say about that before we move on to the subsequent verses. And that is a summary of this text in the words of a hymn. Guide me, O my Father, now. Humbly at thy feet I bow. Look upon me in my need. Strength and grace suffice indeed. Thou, my all, to thee I bend. All my being, dearest friend, do I give thee, precious one. May thy will in me be done. Thou art strong, and I am weak. Thy great wisdom do I seek. Help me by thy grace to be contrite, humble, used of thee. When through all thy wondrous hand I shall see, as thou hast planned, thine own servant, tried and true, pleasing thee in all I do. Wonderful hymn. And it very nicely summarizes many of the salient points found in that text. But now we need to move on beyond verse 5 and learn some other things in regard to prayer. Verse 5 was a verse primarily about wisdom, but it tells us that the way to receive that wisdom is to apply to God in prayer. And with that thought, James turns his attention to prayer. When he says in verse 3, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This, of course, is dealing with one aspect of prayer, but probably the most important aspect of prayer, namely, that we must pray in faith. We must pray believing. Otherwise, our prayer is only so many words. Our prayer is only a ceremony. Our prayer is only a ritual. Our prayer is just going through some rote unless we are truly praying to God above because of our relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and praying in faith in response to that which He has revealed to us in His Word. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, December 19. And as we come close to the end of the year, may I remind you that we are very much in need of your financial gifts in order to finish the year in the black and to be able to continue this radio ministry on this and other stations. How I thank you for your prayerful consideration of these needs. What we learn from prayer. These verses are not really so much about what we learn about how to pray. It's not really a lesson in how we should pray, but it's a lesson in what we learn from praying, from prayer. For these verses are about what our prayers reveal about us and about our relationship with God. And first we notice what is required to enjoy a relationship with God. Verse 6 again, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. This, of course, connects back to verse 5. In fact, that's very evident by that opening word, but. That's a connective particle, but. And that goes back to the prayer for wisdom in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. There is this strong assurance of success that our prayer will be answered when we approach the throne of God to ask for wisdom in times of trial. But this is a reminder that the requirement for all prayer is faith. Always praying in faith. That is the general requirement for answered prayer. The promise of answered prayer makes its spiritual demands upon the one who is asking. We must pray with faith. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. That's what Jesus taught us as well. Listen to these words of Christ in Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. What is faith? Well, faith is wholehearted commitment to and dependence upon God. Faith is complete confidence that God can and will deal with your need. That's what it is. I sometimes define faith more broadly as faith is believing the promises of God and acting accordingly, and indeed that's what it is. But in this case, we're talking about promises that deal particularly with prayer. So faith is believing what God says about prayer and acting accordingly. If we believe that what God says about prayer, we'll pray. But as we approach God in prayer, there must be this wholehearted commitment to God and dependence upon God. There must be a complete confidence that God can deal with your need, and God will deal with your need. Now, notice carefully what I said. I did not say a confidence that God will always, in every case, answer your prayer in accordance with the way that you want him to answer it. Now, in regard to wisdom in times of trials, that is the specific promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So in times of trial, which God has brought, trials, remember, into our lives, to make us feel our need of him, and to recognize that we need wisdom, and so God brought the trial for that very purpose, causing us to cry out to the throne of grace for help, to give us the wisdom we need to face the trial. And in that case, we will always receive the wisdom we request. But now, viewing prayer a little more generally, the requirement is always faith, but what is faith? It is commitment to God, dependence upon God, confidence in God, confidence that God can meet my need, and confidence that God will deal with my need. But it is also confidence that God will deal with my need according to his wisdom, not necessarily mine. And that takes me right back to dependence upon God and confidence in God. If we're not willing to let God deal with our need according to his wisdom rather than our own, then we aren't really trusting him, are we? We say we are, but we're not. We're saying, I trust you, God. I trust you to know what's best. I trust you to do what's best. And here's what we sometimes do, which is so very wrong. I want to tell you what's best, and I want to inform you as to what is best, in case you don't know. And I'm telling you that I'm expecting you to answer this request in the way that I want you to. Uh-oh, contradiction. That's really not trusting God. Faith is wholehearted commitment to God. It is complete dependence upon God. It is total confidence that God can meet my need, and it is complete willingness to let God deal with my need in the way that he chooses to do believing that He will deal with my need. In essence, I think that's exactly what John is telling us in 1 John 5:14, when he says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That's praying in faith, believing that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And our confidence is always that God's will is better than my will. Why? Because God is God, and I am not. It's really a simple matter of understanding who God is and who I am, and the great contrast between us. Who is God? The Eternal One. Who is God? The All-Wise One, the All-Knowing One. Who is God? The All-Powerful One. Who is God? The All-Gracious One. Who am I? A fallen, sinful son of Adam. Who am I? One whose thoughts are often confused. Who am I? One whose heart is not always set wholly upon pleasing God. Who am I? I am one who is conflicted, assuming that I'm a child of God, I'm as one who is conflicted between my heart's desire to please the Lord, such desires given to me in the new birth and continued to be sustained within me by the indwelling Holy Spirit, but sometimes my desires run in a contrary direction, and sometimes they are proud, and sometimes they are selfish desires, and sometimes they are wrong desires because I am not perfect, I'm not fully sanctified, because, in short, I'm not God. God is always right and always wise and always gracious, and I am not always any of those things. Therefore, when I understand that, I have no difficulty praying, "Not my will, but thine be done." To pray in Jesus' name is the same thing, basically. That's not saying the words, "In Jesus' name, amen." I sometimes deliberately don't say that formula, just to remind myself and others that that is not what that text in John 14:13 means. When it says, if we ask anything in His name, He hears us, that does not mean if we always include the words, "In Jesus' name I pray," in our prayers. That's not what it is. It's a statement that combines faith and submission. I come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. I'm asking as an agent of Christ in accordance with God's will, and I bow in faith before Your throne, recognizing that Your will is always best. And I'm coming in Jesus' name, coming to represent Him. He would only pray for that which is the Father's will. He would always and only want the Father's will. So if I'm praying in Jesus' name as a representative of His, as an agent of His, as one who belongs to Him, who's identified with Him, if I'm praying in Jesus' name as a follower of Jesus Christ, then of course I will want only what Jesus would want. I will pray for only what Jesus will pray for, and therefore I will pray like Jesus would, that the Father's will be done. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.